Pull up a chair and buckle up. It's the Original Strength Podcast.
Hey guys, today on the show, I am talking with Clint Emerson. Clint is a retired Navy SEAL. He served on SEAL Team 3 and SEAL Team 6. And he is also a best-selling author. Clint is the author of 100 Deadly Skills, and he has a new book called The Rugged Life, The Modern Guide to Self-Resilience. I had a lot of fun talking with Clint. He has some really amazing stories, and he's just an all-around cool guy. I think you're going to like this conversation, and I really think you're going to like his book. So please check it out, The Rugged Life with Clint Emerson. So can you give me just a little bit about your background for my listeners that aren't familiar with you, about your time in the SEALs and everything?
Sure. I did 20 years in the Navy. I went in to be a SEAL. I was in Bud's class 203, which was roughly around 1996. I stayed in for 20 years, retired in 2015, and had the opportunity to serve at SEAL Team 3, the NSA, and Development Group. So I got both the West Coast and the East Coast kind of experience. And it's almost an even split in the career, almost like 10 and 10. For both the left and right side of the of America.
And how long have you been retired?
Oh man, I've been retired since 2015, so I think I'm going on 7 years now.
All right. When did you discover that you're an author?
You know, it's it wasn't something I thought I would do. I was one of those guys that sat in the squadron space and with the news on, and I would be like, another mother cashing in, writing books, right? And so I was totally against it, to be honest with you. And then as I got to about 1 year out, and I'd already turned in my retirement paperwork, I'd already kind of started building my retirement business, a good friend of mine said, hey, do you want to do a book together? He's an older guy, experienced, published a ton of books. And I was like, I don't know. And then he kind of sold me on the fact that a book is the new business card. The book is the best billboard you never have to spend a dollar on. You know, in fact, you get paid instead of paying for the billboard, right? So he gave me plenty of business points on why it's a good idea to do a book, and we were going to do it together. So I was like, all right, sure, because I didn't know what I was doing. And anyway, he started guiding me through the process. I used his agent. We got the contract for 100 Deadly Skills. And then he ended up having a health issue. It's like literally when we signed the contract, he's like, oh, you're on your own. I can't do this. I'm like, wait, what? And this isn't like, you know, these contracts, you know, they're pretty stiff. You know, there's no flexibility. And it was with Simon & Schuster at the time, which is like the second largest publisher in the world. And I was like, oh no. But in like, you know, typical team guy spirit, it's like, okay, you just figure it out and get it done, right? So, and there you go. That was 100 Deadly Skills came out, you know, roughly a year after we signed the contract. And then surprisingly, it sat on the New York Times list for about 8 months straight.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like total luck because, you know, it's like, I didn't know what I was doing, but you know, and managed to pull it off. It's illustrated, so that kind of made it a little easier. So, you know, it's what we joke about it. It's a marine proof book, you know, because it's got pictures in it.
No, yeah, and that is like, not only did you decide to become an author, you made it to your best selling author. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It was, yeah, it was pretty cool.
And you've got a new book that's out, The Rugged Life, The Modern Guide to Self-Reliance.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still doing the 100 Deadly Skills series because everybody loves it. So I'll just keep doing it until people get sick of it. But I knew too that, well, I concentrate on surviving seconds, minutes, hours, and days. But after the pandemic, I was like, you know, the most important aspect of what people should know, they didn't know. Right. And you know, once we have supply chain issues, the economy, lockdowns, social unrest, I was like, you know, people probably could benefit from a book that has a whole bunch of, you know, I call them lost dad skills, the skills that dads don't teach anymore, right? And it's all about self-reliance. So yeah, The Rugged Life, this one right here, ended up being a book of contingency plans, backup plans, you know, skills that you should have when your phone doesn't work, your laptop doesn't work. You know, it's, you should have it in hardback so that you can reference it when the power goes out, you know? So yeah, and The Rugged Life really is just about giving people skills that can put food on the table, you know, take care of their shelter, their home, you know, be their own handy person, be their own first responder, be your own butcher, be your own hunter. So each chapter is all about being your own and taking ownership. But that's the kind of a long answer.
I think it's really, it's an awesome book. Like it's like a Boy Scout manual on steroids.
Yeah, exactly. Like the old field manual.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that thing. And I grew up collecting those types of books, and it's probably why now I write those kinds of books.
And I'm a little weird. Like like it's the whole package. Like even so the book, cause I've got it and the cover of it, like it just feels like there's a feel to it.
Yeah.
Like it actually feels like a field guide manual.
Yeah. The texture. I'm the same. Like I did, all of my books now have that same exact texture. And yeah, I'm like you, man. It's got a, it feels good. You want to own it. You kind of almost take pride in like, yeah, keeping it nice and neat and ready just in case you got to pull it out and figure something out.
No, it's solid. I really appreciate that aspect of it too. But inside the book, like I was thinking another name for the book could be How to Be Extremely Useful.
yeah be an asset, not a liability, is like, right, that's the other side of the house that I think has been missing in society since the invention of the smartphone, right? I mean, we have, you know, we've all become exponentially more lazy because either we can find it on our phone, we can tap on an app and get it delivered to our door, or, you know, that instant gratification. I mean, there's so much, and that's why it's the modern guide to self-reliance. I make sure that, hey, it's okay to use technology. It's okay to leverage all the modern resources, but couple that with some hands-on skills so that you can get yourself through some problems that are unforeseen, unexpected, or whatever you may face.
No, I think it's great. But you had this in the very beginning of the book, because you have people reflect on questions and how deep they want to go into stuff. But in the very beginning of the book, you had the top 10 serious questions to determine whether or not you wanted to be off grid.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And
yeah,
that's, and I failed that miserably. Like I learned that I am very much an on-grid kind of guy.
yeah I think most people are, you know, I don't know if you, where you live,
North Carolina.
Okay, are you in major metropolitan suburb kind of?
Yeah, I'm right like 15 minutes from Raleigh, right in the center of the state.
Oh, yeah, so I mean out there or anywhere really during this whole like past 2 years, you had this max exodus out of the metropolitan, people buying cabins and going out and buying land. And it's a romantic concept. It really is, to think, yeah, I'm going to have this cabin with a, you know, with this, you know, wood burning stove, and I'm going to chop wood and it's going to be marvelous, beautiful, and sunsets and sunrises, and I'm going to do my own thing. But there was a lot of people that did that and then went, oh no. You know, after about 2 weeks to 30 days, they had no idea what they were doing, and they didn't understand how much work goes into like 100% off-grid life. I mean, it is a full-time job to fend for yourself in that way. So, you know, by no means is the book saying go do that. It's really, hey, pick a couple of projects here and there you know, dip your toe into self-reliance and see how you do. And then you can increase it with time if you find that you like doing it, you know.
I really liked your definition of self-reliance. You said true self-reliance is being able to be anything you need yourself to be. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the key. And you can, the beauty of that too, is you can start with the things you're most interested in. So because the chapters are so like varied and broad spectrum, I was trying to make it so that no matter who picks up the book, they'll relate to at least one or two chapters in there, or find a couple of them super interesting, and want to try it out. So far it seems like it's kind of going that way.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody can pick that book up and not find something that's interesting to them that sucks them in. I think that's a really I don't know if that's on purpose, but I think that's just a really good, it's brilliant how that works.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'm starting to slowly get the feedback, you know, because it's still relatively new on shelves. But yeah, I think I've already had some folks either, you know, email through the website or through my Instagram account, you know, actually sending pictures of them like making pomade, for example, right? In the Be Your Own Homemaker, you know, I put like everything from how to cut every person's hair in the family to making your own shampoo, your own pomade. And, you know, and what's crazy is, you know, it's not something I was doing, but when I did the research and went and visited true self-reliant homesteaders, I was blown away at all the many uses of coconut oil, you know, and it's like the base ingredient for most of that stuff. And I was like, damn, that is actually super easy and actually a cool little process that you can knock out in a relatively quick amount of time if you've got some pots and pans, you know, and a stove and a couple of ingredients, and boom, you're making your own, you know, kind of healthcare stuff, you know, whatever.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. I know you went around and met with experts and people that knew how to do these things, but how much I imagine that you knew how to do a lot of this on your own already?
No. Yeah. I knew a little bit in each chapter, hence the reason why the chapters came to life. So growing up, you know, my dad going hunting, be your own hunter, right? Him field dressing animals, be your own butcher. Then my dad was, you know, quite the handyman as well. So, you know, I was the gopher for everything he needed, whether he was up underneath a car or up in an attic, I was the one going and grabbing whatever tools he needed while he was working, and kind of learned by being his little, you know, runner for different stuff. And then eventually him making me crawl in the attics when it's 110 degrees in Dallas. So, yeah, and then you got the military experience, and then me being a medic in the military, you know, so everything that I thought that I had a little bit of knowledge on became the chapters. And then I just blew them out of the water by talking to experts who live it and breathe it every day.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now this wasn't in the book, but I'm guessing this is probably going to be in a future book. Because I'm just curious, what would be your go-to movements or exercises for staying useful and being able to do all these things to be self-reliant?
Oh, good one. Yeah, you're right. Because in 100 Daily Skills, I always include a workout. They call it the Violent Nomad workout. And I would, you know, honestly, I'd stick to that. It's basically a run, fight, run philosophy. Right. So meaning you've got to have the heart and lungs and the endurance to get yourself away from trouble, danger, chaos, crisis. Right. But you also still have to have the strength and flexibility, power, you know, mobility, you name it, to then get yourself out of trouble if it catches you off guard. So you've got to have that strength there. So run, fight, run really is super simple. It's usually like four exercises, you know. You pick a pull exercise, a push exercise, a rotation, and a sprint. Sprint is always the common denominator. You can vary the sprint distances, you know, like if you live in a neighborhood, it can just be from mailbox to mailbox, right? Something simple. Or fire hydrant to fire hydrant as you get, as your sprinting gets better, because it's a requirement by law in almost every neighborhood across America that a fire hydrant's every like 100 to 200 yards, depending on the density of the homes and the area and stuff like that. So that's your sprint. Obviously a push is simple. That could be a push up. Anything you're, when you're pushing the earth away, is a push exercise. A pull exercise is anything when you're pulling yourself away from the earth in some form or fashion, or pulling an object across the earth. I mean, so it's pretty straightforward. And then rotation, I like strikes, you know, striking heavy bags, whether they're hanging or down on the ground, because any strike you throw, whether it's a kick, a punch, you know, elbows, knees, your core is where the power comes from. So yeah, that's it. And you just do, you know, 4 to 5 rounds, no breaks, do it every day. And you'll probably be pretty well rounded as far as getting yourself out of danger or trouble. If it ever comes around the corner, or, you know, it's a natural disaster, or even if it's just, hey, I got to, you know, pick up my kids and carry them across the house, you know, whatever.
I think that's beautifully simple. And I think that's, even if danger doesn't happen, it just keeps you able to live your life better, because you have the ability and the strength, like you said, the mobility to engage in life and do things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your heart and your lungs, you got to keep them, you got to keep those things as healthy as possible, because they're connected to everything else. So, yep.
Now you have a business that you also help corporations and things. What is that about?
Yeah. So Escape the Wolf was something that was born out of a 3-ring binder of notes I took when I was at the NSA. And while I was there, there was times when I would, you know, have to deploy and do like more solo type missions. And so when I came back, I was like, man, I need an education on how to be the gray person, like truly be gray, even though I'm the only white guy sometimes in the areas I would go to, right? But I felt like there's got to be some kind of education out there that would teach me how to kind of be hide in plain sight. And so I went to the CIA and kind of banged on their doors. I went to the State Department. I went to everybody. And there just really wasn't anything that was that specific, which sort of was surprising to me. So I started building a 3-ring binder of notes and ideas and thoughts. And then one day it got to the point where I was like, huh, I should at least make this look and feel like a book. So back then there was very few self-publishers, and I didn't even know that's what they were called. I just wanted it not to be a 3-ring binder anymore. You know, I just wanted it bound. And so I found this place that does that. I sent it to them, and then they were like, well, yeah, but we upload to Amazon and we do this, and we do that. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I just wanted it to look like a book. So anyway, I ended up handing the book out for free on a regular basis. And it was called Escape the Wolf. And it was all about blending in cultural awareness, third party awareness, situational awareness, and personal awareness. And then I took those four awarenesses and just broke them down into chapters, because those are really the four parts and pieces you kind of need to know about in order to truly blend into any environment. And it ended up in the hands of a retired FBI guy, and he happened to work for the Wall Street Journal. And so he hits me up one day while I'm still on active duty and says, hey, I want you to teach everything that's in this book to all of my journalists that go to high-risk areas.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm still in the Navy. I don't know if I can pull that off. He said, well, you don't need to come yourself. You just need to turn that book into e-learning. I was like, what's e-learning? And so he's like, if you go turn that book into e-learning, I'll buy it. And then that was the day when Escape the Wolf, the book, turned into a company. And then so I was able to get the e-learning done, deployed onto Wall Street Journal servers, literally like the same month I was retiring. And so I was able to get out and work for myself, and have been since then. So I got really lucky, you know. It's like, who would have thought that my first client was the Wall Street Journal? And then after that, it was Humana. And then after that, you know, I've had Topgolf and, you know, Dillard's and Driscoll's and a lot of Fortune 500s, a lot of nonprofits, places of worship and private schools ever since then. So it's awesome. That's what America's all about. You know, it's really cool.
That's a great story. That is really cool. So Clint, if somebody wants to learn more about you, buy your books, or even try to get your services, where can they go?
ClintEmerson.com. And for those that are just checking me out, the Instagram is kind of like my main platform, but I push to Facebook as well and Twitter, but Instagram is kind of my home for social media. The website, ClintEmerson.com, has all the books and all the other little things, my whole little ecosystem you'll find there.
Awesome. I will put those in the notes for the show. This has been a lot of fun. And thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for your service. I really appreciate you.
No, thanks for having me. Nice hanging out with you. And, you know, best of luck with continued episodes and with everything you got going on.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Now get outside and play.